A couple of weeks ago on the show, I was chatting to Ronan McLaughlin, the cyclist from Muff. And Ronan was a pro cyclist, now an amateur cyclist. But I was chatting to him about Everesting because he'd been up and down a Mamore Gap a number of times. And the way it works with Everesting is that it's not about the distance you go or the number of times up and down. And let's face it, Mamore Gap, if you've ever been up it, just to get over it once is an achievement. But anyhow, he was up and down it, and it's all about altitude. It's about reaching the height of Everest. You add it all up, and it's to achieve the height that Everest is. And he was absolutely flying it because he recorded the fifth fastest Everesting in the world in a time of 8 hours and 13 minutes. Well, guess what he did yesterday? He decided to have another go at it. And this time he beat his own record. In fact, he went almost 1 hour faster. And he did it in a time of 7 hours and 18 minutes. And if it's ratified, the same way as the last one was, it will be the new world record. Ronan, what kind of a notion took you anyhow? How are you?
I'm good, John, thank you. I'm not sure you probably need to ask that question. It's not mad to do it once, but to do it twice in such quick succession is, well, I suppose it maybe helps in that, you know, I didn't have too much time to dwell on without thinking about how hard it was, and, you know, better just to get cracking on with it. But just to update there, it has been confirmed by the Health 500 group now.
Oh, it has, brilliant.
And it turns out that I actually reached the altitude of Everest in 7 hours and 4 minutes.
7 hours and four, even better. Well, congratulations. Yeah. Congratulations. A world record.
Thank you.
Every day we get to chat to a world record holder on the show. So, and you've beaten the record of the professional cyclist, Alberto Contador.
Yeah, like I think for anybody that is into their cycling at all, they'll know Alberto Contador's name. He's won Tour de France twice, and he's won the Tour of Italy and Tour of Spain, and there isn't very much he hasn't won, like, so it's incredible to you know, see the headlines today that somebody sitting up here in the northwest of Ireland has gone and taken this global cycling superstar's world record. Like, it's amazing. Like.
Well, it's all the sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
And this time round, you decided to do, well, you did a couple of things differently. First of all, you did it in a shorter distance.
Yeah, so as if 64 times up Mamore Gap wasn't enough, I decided to sort of shorten the segment that I was going to use on it. And that meant that the average gradient that I'd be cycling on would be a lot steeper. Now, because it was shorter, I obviously had to do more laps, but yeah. I ended up doing 80 laps yesterday. But my average gradient was 14.2% instead of 11% like the last time.
Right.
So I managed to, even though it was more laps, it was more shorter laps, so I managed to shave 35 kilometres off the total distance required. And as you said in your introduction there, distance is irrelevant. It's all about elevation gain. So, being able to shave that much off made a huge difference.
So in other words, you narrowed it down to the steepest part, so you cut out a bit at the bottom and the top, I presume.
That's it, yeah. And I'd included, you might ask why I'd included those the first time, but that was just merely, you know, purely because I didn't know what I was getting myself in for, and everybody you speak to sees how hard the challenge is. So I included those bits knowing that they're going to add time on, but at least they give me a bit of a chance to recover. And this time I sort of looked at it and thought, well, you know, I've got a really good time, better than I ever expected, and I've got an Irish record. You know, I've nothing to lose here. I may as well, everything that I aired on that caution with the last time, I may as well throw caution to the wind this time. And it worked out, like, so I'd shortened the segment, had less recovery, which meant that, you know, it made it really, really difficult just, you know, there was a lot of time where I wasn't sure if I was going to get through it or not. I pushed a bit harder as well, and then I'd done a few sort of trick things to the bike as well to get the weight down and to, you know, obviously having ridden for 8 hours just 2.5 weeks ago and done a bit of training since as well, I probably lost a bit of weight off myself as well, so that all adds up, you know. And
is it true that one of the things you did with your bike is you threw away some of the gears?
Yes, the bike would normally have 22 gears on it, and although they are super light anyway, I was only going to be using three, so I thought, what's the point in carrying them if I'm not going to be using them? So I took off Well, I left it, there was only 3 gears on the bike. And then I'd sort of removed or hacksawed off half the handlebars as well. So I was only going to be using that part of the handlebars, and there's no sense in carrying the bottom part, which was another, it might only be 80 grams, but when you have to carry it, you know, up probably 1,848 meters, every gram counts almost. And I think overall I got close to a kilo and a half off the bike from its normal standard to the way I rode yesterday. So it didn't make for a comfortable bike to ride, or it didn't make for an enjoyable bike to ride for anything else, but for what I was doing yesterday, it was perfect.
And how long would it take you to get, on average, from the bottom to the top, and then from the top back down?
So yesterday, like, I had a sort of pacing strategy laid out beforehand, and I knew that if I averaged 5:38 per lap, that at the end of it, if my average was 5:38, I would break the record. And you know, the further I got into it, and I was still way below 5:38, I sort of knew, you know, this is going quite well here. But I think the climbs were taking, roughly speaking, 4:50, 5 minutes, when the descents were taking about 40 or 50 seconds. So,
okay.
And that was unbelievably consistent the whole way through.
Yeah.
That's kind of, it's sort of counterintuitive, but the fact that my more gap is so steep means that it actually, in some ways, although it makes it a lot more painful, it sort of helps in that you can't really go much slower than you have to go just to get up it. So just to get up it sort of means that you're going to be going close enough to world record pace anyway.
But it doesn't give much time when you shorten the length of the lap. It doesn't give you much time for recovery. So you're pushing really hard from the bottom, and it's really steep in places. And then you're sort of turned around, then you're at the bottom, and you have to do it all over again.
Exactly, and you know, you're taking the opportunity of the descent maybe to get a drink in or to get someone beaten, and it felt like 4 seconds, not 40 seconds at times. At the descent, it was just over as quick as you'd begun. And you know, the joy of the flatter part at the bottom that I had the last time meant that you weren't going as hard the whole way through the climb, even the bottom half of the climb was sort of working as recovery, whereas this time, as soon as you turned to the bottom, it was straight back into the hard graft of actually pushing the power to get up the climb.
And the forecast wasn't great for yesterday, yet you still went ahead, and in fact it was quite wet yesterday, so that meant you had a delayed start.
Yeah, it was a real mental battle driving over yesterday now, because I must have downloaded every weather app there is, you know, over the 24 hours beforehand, and every forecast I was looking at was telling me from 1 o'clock onwards it was going to turn into just, from looking at the window in the morning, it looked like the worst day ever, and from 1 o'clock onwards it was going to be the best day for every single more gap that you could possibly hope for. Now it turned out that the forecast was maybe an hour or 2 hours late, because I delayed the start until 2:30, and then you started thinking about the opposite end of the ride, and that, you know, it was going to be finished in the dark if I left it much longer. But I decided at 2:15 that, you know, here I have to just get on with this, if nothing else. Doing it again, whether I do it faster, slower, or what, doing it again will help the charity again. So I'll just get on with it. And, you know, it turned out that after about an hour and a half, 2 hours, the rain stopped. The road started to dry up. The tailwind started to pick up. It was just perfect. It's like the forecast.
Right. Well, whatever about the conditions, been perfect. The whole thing worked out perfectly for you. A lot of it is psychological. You can be in, you know, great shape, but you know, I'd imagine that, you know, a lot of it's in your head as well.
Yeah, certainly. You know, and the trap there is to start thinking about, you know, what lies ahead. And I was just sort of trying to keep myself in each moment. And it sounds kind of cliche, taking it lap by lap, but you know, I gave myself a job to do on each section of the lap, and you know, that was at the top, taking a bar or something to eat or a drink, getting that into me on the descent. There's one actual sort of, a couple of bumps on the descent that, you know, when you're hitting them at 55-60 miles per hour, if you hit them the wrong way, you'd almost take off. Like, so I was sort of concentrating on that. And then at the bottom, I was hitting a button on my bike computer there to time that lap, and, you know, checking how that lap compared to the other lap. So when you break it down into three jobs to get it sort of helps. And then, you know, anytime the sort of negative thoughts started coming in, you know, trying to remind myself what good would that do. And, you know, whether it was the weather that at the start that was raining and that and was cold, you know, first of all, I can't control the weather, so there's no sense in worrying about that. And then, you know, was I going to worry about Alberto Contador? There's probably no sense in that either, because, you know, he had done his ride, I had to do my ride. There's no sense in worrying about what he'd done. And then, you know, if I started to think about how many laps you had to do, well, any time that came into my mind, I just tried to remind myself that, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago, I did 64 laps, and surely if you can do 64, then you can do 80. So, it probably is as much a mental battle as anything else.
Well, 80 laps it was, and in a time of 7 hours and 4 minutes, which has been verified. And now you get a couple of weeks off before the 555.
That's the plan, yeah. And you could almost say that these two Everest events have been training for the Donegal Ultra 555 around the Wide Atlantic Way there in Donegal. So, John McFadden, one of the organizers, was down the whole day yesterday, having me bottles and having me food and everything at the top. Like, so, that's sort of been the goal for the whole year, the 555. I'm just hoping now that these two events haven't taken it out of me too much.
Ah, you've a bit of time to recover, and after all of that, 555 will not quite be a dawdle, but it won't be quite as daunting.
Well, it's at least you're not having to, you know, there isn't, even though the 555 is, you know, 18 or 19 hours and it's 555 kilometres, it's still got it's still substantial, but 5,000 or 6,000 metres of climbing. Compared to the my total ride yesterday, including the sort of safety laps at the end, as we were calling them, was 9,400 metres of climbing.
So, right.
There's quite a lot of flat road in the 555, giving me that chance to recover that I didn't have yesterday.
Right. And when it was wet yesterday, were you able to get out of the saddle, or do you go out of the saddle on the way up?
That's one of the things I was trying to tell myself when it was raining, like that the... it wasn't so much rain, it was more like coolant falling from the sky and keeping me nice and cool. So going uphill, it was no real problem. It was more so just for the turn at the bottom that the rain only really made any sort of difference, and that it meant that I had to brake much sooner because I couldn't brake as hard. So the turn was a bit slippier, and then the braking area became a lot longer. So that maybe, you know, made it cost a bit of time, but sort of neither here nor there, whatever it cost. Like, it was the main consideration there was just getting around the turn every time safely and getting back into the climb.
Yeah, and all in three gears. Anyhow, 7 hours and 4 minutes is a record to beat. Congratulations once again, Ronan McLaughlin. Thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you.
Good luck.